This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news out of North Korea.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
North Korean leader Kim Jong-un walking across the border into South Korea and shaking hands with President Moon Jae-in. This as the two leaders announce a plan to end the Korean War and rid the peninsula of nuclear weapons.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The summit marks a stunning about-face from last year when the North fired off a flurry of missile tests, sparking fears of an all-out conflict. President Trump tweeting this morning, quote, Korean War to end. The United States and all of its great people should be very proud of what is now taking place in Korea.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to take your calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. A lot of attention on the Korean Peninsula. Our military experts are going to be joining us as well as our legal analysts. I really would love to hear from men and women that have served in the Korean Peninsula in the military. That would be great. We'll take other calls as well, of course. But if you served in the Korean Peninsula in the military, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We have an historic first here. And that is Kim Jong-un actually set foot on land in South Korea. Now, this is a historic moment. It's the first time a North Korean leader has ever set foot in South Korea. There you have it on Facebook and Periscope. You're actually seeing it right now. Also, Kim Jong-un announced an agreement in his first such address at a summit on the world stage. Now, what's also significant here is that there is, of course, Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, designate or now confirmed, had previous meetings with Kim Jong-un while he was a CIA director, kind of laying the groundwork for the meeting that's going to take place with the president in just a couple of weeks, it looks like. They're talking, I guess, now that it probably will be in June. So this is significant on a whole host of reasons. Let me go to Skip Ash, who's a senior counsel with the American Center for Law and Justice, is head of our military law group, but also served as a colonel in the United States Army and also served in Korea. Now, let's talk about the significance of Kim Jong-un and South Korea president meeting at the historic inter-Korean summit meeting held at what's called the Peace House. How significant is this, Skip?
Oh, I think it's very significant. This is the first time, as you've already said, that a North Korean leader has set foot on South Korean territory since the end of the Korean War. And I think this could be just as significant as the Nixon-China rapprochement back during the Nixon administration. So this is something that has a potential to really be important geopolitically in Asia. And I think only a person like President Trump could do that because he speaks the language that the North Koreans understand, and he has the will to back up his word. So I think this could be potentially very significant.
It's interesting because there was NBC News put up an op-ed by Keith Koffler as a guest editorial where he said President Trump is the right man for the moment and the man for this current age of crisis. And, Skip, I take it you agree with that assessment.
I do. I think his words to this administration over in North Korea, he said what they understand. They understand power and they understand will, and the president has both in abundance.
Andy, looking at this, you know, you look at first the atmospherics of it. We just put up, and we'll show it again, that picture of Kim Jong-un walking on a South Korean land. This is significant. These kind of atmospherics, these kinds of photographs, these kind of pictures that are literally broadcast around the world are symbolic. And so we talk about symbolism a lot, but this is very symbolic.
Symbolism is very important. Symbols stand for things and they mean things to people. Symbolism is not something that you just relegate to the bottom of the barrel. It's something that's very important. You have the leader of the dear leader of North Korea, who is deigning to walk into Korean territory in the South and to embrace, in a sense, the leader of South Korea. This is a historic, incredibly historic first step in ending a conflict that lasted from 1950 to 1953, and took many, many lives. And I think President Trump is the right man for the moment.
All right, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110, especially if you served in North Korea in the military or have expertise in that area. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. And how important do you think it is? You believe President Trump is the right man for the moment on this? 800-684-3110.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope and ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Skip Bastard on the phone with us. He is the senior counsel for the ACLJ in charge of our military legal operations, and also served as in the military as a retired colonel, but served in North Korea. I say it's important because the meeting that took place between the North and South Korean leadership took place at what is called the Peace House. I want Skip to describe for everybody, what is the Peace House?
Well, this is a structure that's aspirational. The idea that especially the South has been coming together trying to have peace on the Korean Peninsula. There's a series of buildings there where both sides meet. Right now we're in a situation where there's merely an armistice. That means that hostilities have been put on hold temporarily, but no peace treaty has been negotiated. So when there is a violation, if there's some type of incident between the North and the South, they meet in these series of buildings. There's a line right in the middle of the building that is the border. And the North sits on one side, the South, South Korea, the UN, United Nations Command, which is commanded by a U.S. Military officer, and the NATO or the UN allies will sit on the South side, and they negotiate and come to a resolution of the problem. But that's where problems are sorted out between the two sides, again, because there is no peace. It's an armistice. So, in effect, this is like an armistice meeting. But the South has been looking for peace, and the Peace House is aspirational that one day there'll be peace on the peninsula.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to take your comments. Logan, we got calls. Lines are getting jammed up, but again, we'll take yours, 1-800-684-3110, especially if you served in the military. Let's go ahead and take it.
Yeah, and we also have listeners typically from South Korea watching online. So if you're watching online now, give us a call. So we'd love to take your call, and we'll get you on the air. Comment also if you're in the area. We'd love to hear your thoughts. John's calling from Florida online too. You're on the air.
Hey, John.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I have the privilege to serve there for 18 months as a command sergeant major
at
Camp Casey, close to the DMZ. I believe that this is the most historic moment since the Vietnam War ended.
Mm.
I believe that Mr. Trump's time, his election, was just on time for this to happen. This hasn't happened for 60 years, there has been a war. People don't know that. And now to see these two men crossing each other's borders and getting ready to denuclearize the peninsula, this is historic. I mean, this is one of the most historic moments. I have chills in my body.
Mm.
The time I spent there in the DMZ in 1974, a lieutenant that was with me got shot right there in the DMZ.
Wow.
The tension was, you could see the tension. And even today, there were tensions. You see the smiles, but everything is coming like a puzzle together. And I think this is one of the great moments of history. And people should take it as it is and not as a critic.
Yep. So, John, let me first thank you for your service to our country. I want to go to Skip Ash, our senior counsel. I've got a question for Andy, who deals with symbolism and how things look and reaction. But those words from John, Skip, I know you've served in the DMZ as well. I'm sure you echo that same sentiment.
I do. You know, we have to take this with a grain of salt, of course, but we should not lose sight of the fact that this is a significant movement for the leader of North Korea to come and cross into the South. I also served in Camp Casey. I was in Korea from 73 to 74 and also from 89 to 90.
So you were there when John was there?
I was there when he was there. I was serving with the Divisional Cavalry Squadron in the early 70s, and I commanded the 1st Battalion, 72nd Armor, the second time I was there, and I was stationed at Camp Casey the second time. And, yes, my motor pool was in artillery range of the North. So we were right there. We were not right up on the DMZ, but we were just a number of miles behind it, but we were within artillery range. And, you know, it was always tense there. It seems to me that we should not be concerned absolutely that this is not going to work, because it doesn't always work out. But I think what we need to do is say, this may be an opportunity. We should not miss this opportunity if the North is actually serious. We'll know soon enough.
Yep.
If they're not serious, we'll be able to identify that soon enough. But we should not assume they're not serious, because, you know, one of the reasons right now is they may have stopped their nuclear program is because they can no longer test nuclear weapons because they've destroyed the nuclear test site. There have been, from satellites, they've shown that the mountain's collapsing, which means there's probably a problem to be able to conduct further tests. So
Skip, let me jump in here for a second, because I think this is important. Let's put up on the screen a picture at night, a satellite image. You were talking about this, Skip, a satellite image of North and South Korea. And you could tell where North Korea is. There's barely a light flickering. And there's South Korea, where you see the major cities. You see even in the rural areas, electricity. That map, coupled, Andy, with the video that I want to play for our Facebook, Periscope TV audience of Kim Jong-un crossing over into South Korea. When you look at both of those symbols, when you look at both of those images, it is, we're getting a lot of call from military men and women. This is a symbolic moment, but I think the president's approach to this has absolutely carry the day so far.
It has. It has been the impetus, and we have to admit it. Whether you like him or not, whether you voted for him or not, do we have to admit and to concede the fact that it is President Trump and his approach, the sanctions, the insistence, and the things that he has done with respect to this that has caused these two leaders to meet at this crucial juncture. And let me tell you, Jay, it is very symbolic. We know from history that diplomacy is better than warfare. You go to warfare as the last advantage. 65 years there have been open hostilities between these two countries of North and South Korea. Now you have the dear leader, the emperor, so to speak, of North Korea, condescending in many ways to come down to step across that symbolic line, which has been so important, you know, at least mentally,
right,
and to embrace, in a sense, the other leader and to start these talks. This cannot be overemphasized, the importance of what we saw here.
All right, let's go ahead. We're taking other calls. Our phone lines are open at 800-684-3110. Alice, Logan?
Yep, Alice in Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, Alice, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
Yes. Hi, I was a communications officer in Korea, also a chemical officer from 1986 to 1990. So
thank you for your service.
Thank you. It was an honor to serve. And then it was during a period of a lot of change while we were changing from analog communications to digital communications. So I saw a lot of things happening that I won't tell you about, but this is really not to be underestimated. The way things got set up was always through underlings, and for the actual leader to step across the line is a huge, huge gesture. But then again, I would be very cautious.
Yep.
And just saying.
Now, Alice, I think you're echoing the words that one of your colleagues, Colonel Skip Ash, said just moments ago, and that is, while we're encouraged, and this is the right moves, and I think diplomacy is war without force in a sense. You said take it with a grain of salt, though. I think everybody's going into this with their eyes open.
Absolutely. We have to, you know, they say good words very often. They've said them in the past, but they don't carry them out. But we're going to find out, because I think President Trump is going to say no concessions until we see movement on the other side. In the past, they would say words, we would give them concessions, and then they would back off and do what they wanted. This time, the president's saying, no, you have to show good faith first, and then these things may happen. So I think that's the right approach.
The president's also made some comments on the Iran nuclear deal. Later in the broadcast, we're going to tie that in. We'll get those comments. Let me also play, Lindsey Graham was on Fox News this morning. Here's what he said.
Here's the deal. It wouldn't have happened without Trump. It may not happen, but it's the biggest change since the end of the hostilities. The fact that the North Korean and South Korean president met and they vowed to end the war. What happened? Donald Trump convinced North Korea and China he was serious about bringing about change. We're not there yet, but if this happens, President Trump deserves the Nobel Peace Prize.
President tweeted this morning, after a furious year of missile launches and nuclear testing, a historic meeting between North and South Korea is now taking place. Good things are happening, but only time will tell. And this is when you got to understand that the commander-in-chief and the presidency of the United States has incredible responsibilities under our Constitution. We talk about this unitary executive, the idea that the president should be focusing on these things, which clearly he is. You look at the diplomatic aspects of this and understand that this is not just multilateral negotiations, but there is multilateral negotiations with superpowers. I mean, that's what you're talking about here. But the moves here are encouraging, although I think, as Skip said, you got to go into this with your eyes wide open. But at the end of the day, and I think this is important for everybody to understand, I think what Senator Graham said is absolutely correct. The approach that the president has taken by putting strong sanctions in place, by taking an aggressive position with China to leverage that against North Korea, has paid off dividends. Will it be the final dividend? That's only, like the president said, time will tell on that. But it certainly is a step in the right direction. And whether you're for the president or you're opposed to the president in the election, whatever your position might have been, I don't think anybody can deny we are watching history in the days ahead here. This is a historic moment. What you saw on the screen, I'm going to play it again right now. For those watching on TV or Facebook or Periscope, of Kim Jong-un walking over, let me tell you, you're watching an historic moment, and moments make a difference. You have a moment, you have the moment. This was a moment, not the moment yet, but it was a moment. We'll take more when we come back from the break.
Yep, that's 1-800-684-3110. A couple lines are open right now, 1-800-684-3110. We'll continue the conversation during the break. If you're watching online, because we don't go to breaks, online, ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So there's a declaration that's part of this agreement between North and South Korea. One is a declare the end to the Korean War. A lot of people think the Korean War ended, as Skip noted during the break here, in 1953. But in fact, the Korean War has not ended. And we called it a police action initially. That was how it was phrased in the United States. So, Skip, what's the status of that legally?
Legally, the war is still on. Until there is a peace treaty, there's hostilities are still could break out at any moment. The Armistice Agreement was an agreement to stop fighting in place and to not restart the fighting. But until you have a peace treaty, that's not official. So we're still under an armistice agreement.
And we don't know if the North and South Korea, and we don't know when the president meets, whether it's going to be trilateral or bilateral or multilateral. We don't know yet.
We don't exactly. I would hope that the South Korean leader is going to be there because obviously it is his country interests at stake, not only ours, but his country's interests at stake. And I think that that would be very important to make sure that we properly represent not only our interests, but the interests of the people of South Korea.
So North and South Korea are going to agree to do the following: declare the end to the Korean War. Then they're going to set denuclearization as a common goal and work together to make the Korean Peninsula nuclear free. Our director of policy has just joined us here in our media center studios, Professor Harry Hutchison. So, Professor Hutchison, your sense of where we are with this, you wrote about it this morning. Where do you think we are?
Well, first, this is an historic moment in time, but the quintessential question becomes whether verifiable peace on the Korean Peninsula is possible. We must trust, but we must also verify. But
How about this? How about don't trust and verify? And the reason I say that is we did the trust but verify with Russia. Different situation. The North Koreans have brought us down this path before. Why not just agreement and verify? I'm serious from a policy perspective.
Absolutely. And essentially, I totally agree with you. But I think it's also important to note that there has been a tectonic shift away from sudden missile launches and nuclear tests. And it's very, very possible that this 8.5-hour meeting in the demilitarized zone will yield fruit. But I think we should maintain skepticism as well.
All right. We talked about, Andy, the trust but verify, which is the standard in these diplomatic situations when you come to an agreement. But there's been such a jaded history with the North Koreans. I actually think that the position we're advocating at the ACLJ that I think we should formally advocate is, and I'll let Harry develop it as our director of policy, but is a position of no trust, go into it with good faith on our end, assume that they'll say things but maybe not mean them, and then verify.
Yes, I think that's a wise approach to take. We have to really realize that there have been overtures made in the past over years and years and years of negotiations. But I think one of the bright lights, Jay, is that, you know, we saw the North Korean leader launching missiles toward Japan, threatening to launch missiles to the United States, doing all these acts of aggression. Then that wasn't that long ago, Jay. It was just a few months ago. And suddenly President Trump put sanctions, and then they realize we're dealing with a force to be reckoned with.
Yep.
Donald Trump. The United States is not, you know, in a posture to, of just being neutral in this, but being very aggressive in the imposition of sanctions. But we have to realize that there is an inscrutability in dealing with the East that we have to, I think, take your approach first. I don't know that I would trust, but I sure would verify.
All right, let's go ahead and go right back to the phones. Phone lines are jammed at 800-684-3110, but as they clear up, you call in.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Michael in Reno. He's been holding the longest. Right, or Michael, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael.
Hi. I served between, I was in the Marine Corps, and I served between 1981 to 1989. And I remember when I went to Okinawa, how I had to go on a mission called Bear Hunt. And I was with Kim Jong-un's father.
Mm.
And it was like, you know, real tense. And you know, his father was just like him, didn't like us over there, didn't like us doing maneuvers. And it was just like, you know, wow, just the tension was unbearable. But I believe as a Christian, we should trust it's earned and not given. Yes, I think this is historic. Yep. I think it's great. But he needs to earn our trust. We don't need to do anything because Ronald Reagan didn't tolerate him.
No,
his father.
Let me, first of all, again, thank you, Mike. I'm going to say this to everybody that calls in that served in the military. Thank you for your service. But you bring up a really good point. I want to go to Skip Ash, who's served over there. Skip, what years were you in North Korea?
South Korea. But
yeah,
I was
South
in,
Korea, I'm sorry.
I was there from 1973 to 74 and 1989 to 90.
Okay. Oh, so you overlap with Mike a little bit, too.
Did not serve in North Korea.
You did not serve in North Korea. Logan wants to correct me on that. Yeah, you did not serve in North Korea. That'll start a whole thing. All right, here we go. Let me make it very clear. I misspoke. Yeah. Skip Ash served in South Korea for the United States military. Big difference. Yeah. But talk about the tension level.
Well, I'll tell you, it changed a great deal between my first time in the early 70s to the latter 80s because the first time I was there, they had in Seoul, they had anti-aircraft guns on top of all the buildings under camouflage nets. When I went back 15 years later, that was all gone. Nonetheless, when you went up towards the DMZ, it was very tense all the time. And the first time I was there, I was north of the Imjin River one time when somebody was coming across. They found somebody coming across from the north infiltrating, and I was with a mortar unit, and we were firing illumination rounds for 4 hours trying to find the guys. The second time I went back, we didn't have that type of thing. It was more subtle, and they normally came into the south by submarine or some other way, so they got around the DMZ, which was relatively well-sealed at that point in time, and they either came through tunnels that they had dug or they came in on the coast.
How significant, let's talk about symbolism again. Andy, we talked about North Kim Jong-un coming down, making that step over again, putting it on the screen for our TV audience, making that step over into South Korea. We also know as part of this declaration that has been agreed to that South Korea's president will visit Pyongyang in the fall of 2018. So what's the significance of that?
Well, I mean, it's the counter to what we just saw. Now the South is going to make the graceful and hopefully optimistic step into the North. And so we have these steps, and diplomacy is a series of steps. We have a step that he made. No North Korean incumbent leader has ever done that before, right? And now he's done that, and we're going to see hopefully the same thing from President Moon Jae-in coming, which means by increments, by little baby steps, we ultimately reach the peace that we're looking for.
You know, you and I have done trilateral negotiations for various government agencies before, and we call them, when you make these incremental steps that Andy's talking about, there's actually a technical term in diplomacy called, it's a confidence-building measure. That's what it's called, CBM, a confidence-building measure. And in one sense, Harry, that confidence-building measure was that step into South Korea, the way I view it. I want to get your sense of it.
Well, yes, I think that was the first step in moving this process forward. But I think additional steps are indeed required, including verifiable denuclearization. I think we can draw an analogy with the Iran nuclear deal, which is filled with large gaps with respect to inspections, with a failure to include a provision with respect to Iran's ballistic missile capability. Those are clear problems. And so if we look at the Iran nuclear deal, it provides a roadmap for President Trump.
Yeah, and what
not to do. Sorry.
Yeah, so his certification on that is coming up. We're gonna talk more about that in the second half hour of the broadcast. If you don't get that full hour of this broadcast, you're missing a lot of information. Logan's gonna let you know right now how you can get it.
That's right. You can find us broadcasting live each and every day for a full hour. That's at ACLJ.org, but you can interact, get your comments in, your questions in online as well. That's at Facebook.com/JSeculo, which go to the Verified JSeculo page, as well as the Verified JSeculo Twitter, and on Periscope at JSeculo. So find us on all those. We'll be right back with another half hour.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So a historic day yesterday evening, and that is Kim Jong-un's trip to South Korea. Historic moment. First time a North Korean leader has ever set foot in South Korean-controlled territory. Kim Jong-un also announced the agreement in his first address at a summit on the world stage, and that is this agreement of declaration that they're coming to. But what's interesting, Logan, you said last night when this came out, most media had not, I guess when by the time it came out, it was not making a lot of the news cycles.
It was happening, but I think you kind of got swept under the rug a little bit because it was also very late, different time zones, and people get thrown off. So yeah, it was breaking, you know, late last night, so I think a lot of people maybe missed this moment.
How historic, Andy, when you look at the imaging of that, and now we know that the South Korean president is going to go to, in the fall of this year, is going to go to North Korea, to Pyongyang. How significant symbolism?
I can't emphasize it enough. And you know one thing that was really stark to me and symbolic is the satellite photo that we took of North and South Korea that we showed, in which at night South Korea is lit up all over the place and North Korea is dark. And this is the same kind of light versus darkness. So what we have here is darkness moving into light. The leader of North Korea moving into the area of light. And I think that is another analogy that you draw. Hopefully he will take that light and illumine his own people.
Yeah. Do you think that part of this is, Harry? I mean, I know we've got this kind of checkered relationship with North Korea, and we've been down the road before, but not with a president like President Trump and the negotiations that were going on. But do you see, I think Andy brought that was a brilliant analogy, this kind of bringing the light of South Korea, literally, into the North. Do you think in part that Kim Jong-un is doing this because it's also survival for them?
Absolutely. So I think the increased sanctions on North Korea are working. Also, he looks out and he sees additional sanctions on Russia and tough talk by President Trump toward China. So I think all of this is beginning to bear fruit. I think it's bearing fruit based on the admissions by President Macron about the flaws in the Iran nuclear deal. He essentially has admitted that there are glaring errors in that deal. There are glaring flaws that need to be fixed.
All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110, especially if you served in the military in the region. But if you have another comment you didn't serve, that's fine too. But for military that served in there, we find that very important. Let me go to Skip on this. So, Skip, we talk about verifying. If you were advising the president or the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, on the negotiation strategy, knowing the region as you do, what would your first bit of advice be?
I would think it would be exactly what the president has said he's going to do, and that is we are not going to repeat past mistakes by taking them at their word and then giving them things so that they can then use those against us and do their own will. We're going to look for actual good faith movement in the direction that we require before we do anything else. The key concern for me here right now is I think that Kim Jong-un, having put this charm offensive on, is going to try to peel off the South Koreans against us. He's going to try to have them yield on some of these sanctions before the United States is ready to do that. And that's where we need to look to see that whether he's aiming there, because he needs the sanctions removed. He was trying to create some goodwill with the South Koreans to try to pressure them to not follow the policy the United States is following. That's where we need to keep an eye.
All right, so we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. Logan, we'll also get some comments. We do have some lines open. We encourage you to call.
That's right. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
Don't forget also, we are in the final days of our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ. And we're a little bit behind our goal, so we could use your help. ACLJ.org, any amount you donate to the American Center for Law and Justice, we get a matching gift for it. It's a great program. We get to do it a couple times a year, and this is the last day for until at least the fall or around Christmas. So ACLJ.org. Sometimes we get matching challenges also in the summer, but again, it's going to be a while. So ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for, and I encourage you to support the great work of the ACLJ so we can continue to not only engage in these issues and cases, but come to you each and every day on this broadcast. Back with more in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. A very, very historic moment in North and South Korea. I think this is diplomacy. Disraeli famously said that diplomacy is war without violence or war without force, but it's still a form of negotiating to an end. And I think that's great. We've got a lot of people that have called, and we're taking their calls, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go ahead and go right back to those phones right now. I can grab it for you if you want.
No, I got it. Okay. All right, let's go to James in Oklahoma on line two. You're on the air.
Hi, James.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
I served on board the USS Midway. It was home ported in Japan from 78 to 80, and we spent a lot of time off the Korean coast. Currently, I work as a contractor in Afghanistan.
Wow.
My thoughts are that this is historic. It's great. It's beyond comprehension. However, my ideas may be somewhat simplistic and antiquated, but September 30th, 1938, a guy stood on a tarmac and said, "Peace in our time."
Yep.
And I think it's important that we, you know, pray for the best. Right. Pray for the best. Don't give an inch and keep our powder dry.
And pray with your eyes open, too, because you got to know what's going on here. Skip, what about that? We appreciate your service, James, by the way. But that was, of course, Neville Chamberlain that said that, peace in our time. And I read a great series I'm reading on Winston Churchill that he wrote, that Churchill wrote. And he talks about that moment. And that was basically not only was it incorrect as a matter of policy, but ended up being disastrous for the European continent. And ultimately, the Allies prevailed, but it was difficult. What was your sense of that, Skip?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. There's a past history with the North Koreans, and they have given their word and never kept it up to this point. So what we need to do is we need to say, okay, we're willing to give you a new chance, but what we're going to do is we're going to look for solid responses, and you're going to have to say something and keep your word this time. If you do that, you will have no greater partner in peace than the United States. But if you're going to repeat what you've done in the past, then you'll have no greater foe than the United States. And that's, so we need to walk in, and if they understand that, and I think President Trump is the type of person who can relay that to them in a way that they will understand, then I think there is a real chance for peace.
All right, we've got a little bit of an opposition to the position we're advocating, and that's good as well. That's why we do this broadcast, so everybody can, we can debate their position. Let's go ahead and take line one.
Let's go to Thomas in Glendale, Arizona. You're on the air.
Hey, Thomas.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
And Logan and Harry. I actually donate to you on a monthly basis.
Oh, we appreciate that.
I usually fully agree with everything you said. And I actually served in the military, retired. I served in Iran during the Iranian crisis, and I was actually in Korea in 81.
Well, you and Skip. I guess everybody overlapped with everybody, and that, there you go. We appreciate your service. But go ahead, Thomas.
The thing is like, I agree that we have to be careful when we go into these negotiations, but I don't know if I really like the value of how you, like, kind of flat out said, don't trust when you're trying to come up with a policy.
Yeah.
I feel like what saying you don't trust is like going into a marriage with a prenup. You're kind of going in with the intention it's going to fail. I think they kind of go in there like what you talked about before. I think Harry said it, incremental steps, that policy
sure.
that's out there. You mentioned a policy. Go in there, maybe state that, like, hey, we have incremental steps that we're going to trust you. But to come out and just say, don't trust, that just sounds like a negative.
Yeah, I understand. Negative. I understand what you're saying, but this is why I think you don't trust. I mean, I don't think we have to publicly go in there and say, by the way, we don't trust you. But I think we need to be thinking when we go in there, we don't trust you. Confidence building measures, Andy, are the incremental steps that you mentioned. I mean, that you take. That's what in diplomatic speaks, it's called a confidence building measure. Those are steps, and you can trust on little steps. But what you can't do is, and I appreciate, Thomas, what you're saying, and I understand this, but I don't think this is a trust but verify situation just because of history. But Andy, again, small steps, you may be able to do it on small steps.
I agree with you, Jay. I think we've been led astray by the North Koreans so many times over the course of the decades since the armistice ended the hostilities that we have to be very wary. I like to see these gestures of symbolism. I think they're very important, but we must not be naive. As the caller earlier mentioned, I can still see the image, and I wasn't there, but I can see the image of Neville Chamberlain waving the paper when he came back from London to London from Munich in 1938, saying peace in our time, and he had been hoodwinked by Hitler.
Yep.
Of course, and Hitler had made so many aggressive steps toward the remaining part of Europe that we should have been careful and not to continue to appease him. So I tend to agree with you, Jay, that we need to be very, very wary of these overtures and not jump into them too wholeheartedly without being cognizant of the fact that in the past they have not been reliable.
Let me play for you what the president has actually said on this topic just moments ago. Take a listen to the question and the response.
What would you present to the president to ensure that Kim isn't just trying to play the U.S. like the Kims have for success?
Oh, I don't think he's playing. No, I don't think he's playing. And you know, it's never gone like this. It's never gone this far. I don't think it's ever had this enthusiasm for somebody, for them wanting to make a deal. And yeah, I agree. The United States has been played beautifully like a fiddle because you had a different kind of a leader. We're not going to be played, okay? We're going to hopefully make a deal. If we don't, that's fine.
So let me go to Skip on this. Your sense of this trust versus not trust, how would you approach it?
Well, I'm from an area of the country where they say once burnt, twice shy, and we've been burnt multiple times. So we have to go in with our eyes open. We have to go in not just taking people's word. They say nice words, they say beautiful words, and they don't carry those out. So I think the president's right. He's going to sit there and say, okay, I think they're sincere in this. And if they're not sincere, we'll find out soon enough. And if they're not sincere, then we won't get a deal. We're no worse off than we are now. It's worth taking the chance for peace, but we have to walk in with the idea that peace may not be achieved because they may not be serious about achieving peace.
All right. So let me ask you this, Harry. You've got this situation with North Korea, South Korea, and then at the same time, we're coming up to the certification date on Iran. What's your sense? You've written in our pre-meetings here about the link between the two.
Well, first, we should note that there has been a history of North Korean duplicity. That's number one. Number two, the Iran nuclear deal represents, in my opinion, Iranian duplicity. And so we should use our pre-negotiations, if you will, with North Korea to send a clear, direct signal to Iran that either the deal will be fixed or we will withdraw. And that should be backed not only by rhetoric, but by real actions. So continue the sanctions on North Korea, continue to push for tariffs on China, sanctions on the Russians, and I think the Iranians will get the message, hopefully.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
Let's go to Vince in Orlando. You're on the air on line 5.
Hey, Vince.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thanks.
We've got a great administration. We have a modern-day president taking care of modern-day problems. I was military from Air Force from 1990 to 2002. And in regards to one quick comment about the last comment that your host had said, though, is that President Trump is going to make the adjustments necessary as we go along. There's nothing negative that ever he speaks about. Everything is always positive. And it's the media that puts a negative spin on these things that make it seem impossible for us to accomplish. I've got buddies that were stationed in that area and in that building with a red line running in front of their desk. It's time for them to come home. And actually, we're getting shortchanged because the way it looks is the name of that village is called Truce Village. And Truce Village was never mentioned. And Truce Village is very accommodating for the way the two leaders met there at Truce Village and crossed the lines from one country to the other country.
I appreciate your input. Skip, tell us about Truce Village.
Well, that's the area where they actually negotiated the truce, which is the armistice. That's where they came to the agreement to stop the hostilities, and that's where the desk is, the table that is divided right in the middle between the border divides the table in half. I mean, they've had some real interesting stories there, like they were fighting over the size of the flags and the size of the flagpoles. I mean, it really got to be some really idiotic things over time, but that's where actually anything that's happened during the time the armistice has happened there. So Truce Village is where they negotiated the armistice. A truce and an armistice are basically the same thing.
All right. On August 15th, according to this declaration, 2018, the two Koreans countries, the two Koreas, will host reunions of families separated by the Korean War. More symbolism there, Andy.
It is, and I think that that's an important thing, the reunification of divided families, as we saw in East and West Germany and East and West Berlin. Those are the incremental little baby steps that you take. These things don't happen necessarily all of a sudden in one fell swoop. It takes time and little steps here and there to achieve the ultimate goal, which is to denuclearize the peninsula and create a lasting peace between the two Koreas.
All right, we're going to take calls next segment as we head to the final segment of the show today, 1-800 of the week, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You can give us a call right now, and we've got a couple lines open. We'll try to take as many of those calls, and we'll take some comments as well.
And don't forget, we're in the last days of our matching challenge campaign for the ACLJ. Your support of the ACLJ at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Makes a huge difference. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, ACLJ, we get a matching gift for that. ACLJ.org. We'll take more of your calls, as Logan said, 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break, 800-684-3110. A lot more ahead. Stay tuned.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Appropriate tune for those on Facebook and Periscope. A lot of you saying you want to see it, so we're going to play it at the end of this broadcast. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We had a lot of fun doing that at Judson University last year, and we're about to, oh, by the way, I am going to be on Mike Huckabee's broadcast that we're going to be taping it this coming week, but then it's going to air, I think, the next week with the band. So we're hoping the governor will play at least one tune with us. And we're looking forward to being on that. It's about our new book coming out on Jerusalem, actually on Israel and Jerusalem. Looking forward to that. Did that with our friends at the Trinity Broadcasting Network. All right, last segment. We take all the calls we can. Logan, let's go right to them in the order they called.
Let's go to Christine calling in Detroit. You're on the air.
Hey, Christine.
Hi, Jay. Hey. I just want to say congratulations and good luck on your endeavors. First, I just want to say that I trust President Trump. You know, he's been watching the world for many years, and I trust his judgment. But I haven't heard anybody speak about the accountability of North Korea as far as Otto Warmbier. And
yep.
We have three hostages over there.
Right.
And
currently,
Yes. And is Kim Jong-un, is he desperate and just pretending, or does he sincerely want to make amends with everything? But nobody has spoke about.
No, I'm glad you raised that. I'm actually very glad you raised it. There are three Americans over there right now. We did have the situation with the student who ended up coming back to the United States and died shortly thereafter because he was in such bad shape. Do I think they're desperate? Yeah, I think they are desperate. I think these sanctions are working. But let me turn this to our policy director to get your thoughts, Harry. What do you think?
Well, Jay, I think you're correct. I think the North Korean economy, such as it is cratering. But we should make sure that before any sanctions are lifted, that all American hostages are released. That's number one. Number two, we need an accounting for Otto Warmbier's treatment in North Korea. And third, we need verifiability with respect to any denuclearization claims by the North Korean regime.
Because one of the aspects of this joint agreement is going to be a denuclearization as a common goal and work together to make the Korean Peninsula nuclear-free. Let me go to Skip on this really quick. So, Skip, that, good point on that. We got Americans that are hostages there. We had an American that was basically killed there. What's your sense of how that plays into this?
Oh, I think that has to be part of the deal. I mean, we have to get some accountability. But the issue we have to recognize, the issue of denuclearizing the Peninsula is not only against the North, it's also against the United States. I mean, what he's trying to do is to have us remove our nuclear weapons from South Korea. The South Koreans do not have their own. So it's a ploy to get us at least nuclear portions of our defense out of the Korean Peninsula.
All right. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Let's go to Gray in North Carolina online, too.
Hi, Gray. You're on the air.
Hey, y'all.
Thanks.
Hey, the biggest thing here is I'm a vet, 82nd Airborne Division.
Thanks for your service.
I didn't serve any time in Korea, but you know I've got good goosebumps over this, and I'm trying to be as optimistic as I can. And I also saw mentioning Otto. I guess his parents just filed a suit against North Korea.
Yeah.
So
trying to hold them accountable. And look, I think that. A lot of people, there's the enthusiasm, and Andy, you and I deal with symbolism and incremental steps, and all that's positive. I'm just saying, do this with your eyes open. This is, again, I think verify should be the first word. Anything is verified. So I'm of the no trust. I know we had a caller that said, well, it's going in with a negative attitude. I think it's going in with a realistic attitude. But the symbolism of the moves, including this, Andy, and that is that there will be a jointly operated liaison office in North Korea, that they will have a agreement to stop broadcasting propaganda on the inter-Korean border, and that they will be that both Koreas will be connected by an inter-Korean railroad on the East Coast. Those are big. Those
yes.
are big statements, big symbols.
And in addition, the two Koreas will jointly participate in the 2018 Asian Games. All these things taken together, the resumption of the railroad, the Asian Games, reuniting families, setting up a liaison office, stop broadcasting propaganda and hostilities in land, sea, and air. Don't you see how these things are all leading toward an ultimate goal of peace? Well, we have never had a talk like this, but let's not forget that the catalyst here is not the North Korean leader and not the South Korean leader. The catalyst is the President of the United States,
yep,
and our country, which is leading. And look at who we've got to deal with on this planet Earth. You've got Kim, you've got Putin, you've got President Xi, and Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. So the President of the United States has some formidable opponents that he has got to deal with in this world crisis.
Skip, what's a victory here on this? You served in the region twice. What do you sense?
Well, I think if we could get talks going and if we could get movement that could be confirmed that they're reducing their nuclear capability to zero, that would be absolute victory. The only thing we need to keep in mind then is that they don't transfer this technology to Iran or another country like that. So yep, that has to be part of the deal.
All right, let's go right back to the phones, Logan.
Let's go to Gary in Brooklyn on line three. You're on the air. If you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. It'll be the last opportunity for the week. But Gary, you're on the air.
My hometown, Brooklyn. All right, there we go, Gary. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, sir? I'm a retired captain who served on the DMZ with the 7th Division back in 1968.
Thanks for your service.
One of the bloodiest times of ceasefire. Thank you. I'm almost in tears seeing the picture of Un crossing the demarcation line and shaking hands, but with a little reservation, hoping this is a real deal. You remember the Pueblo, the reconnaissance plane being shot down, the axe murders. They've always pushed the envelope. I'm just hoping now that Trump can get these two gentlemen together and we can have some real peace and a unified Korea, you know, eventually.
I'm showing on our, Gary, so you know that our television audience and our Facebook and Periscope audience actually saw the step into South Korea by Kim Jong-un. That step is going to be returned by the president of South Korea in the fall to North Korea. And these steps are symbolic of so many aspects of this. And I think we have to be encouraged. I think the diplomatic pressure that has been utilized here by the administration has been successful. I think Mike Pompeo, that was a great move as Secretary of State. By the way, if you know at the when we were on live in your area yesterday, on the later broadcast, we were able to update everything. I am happy to report. I should have said it right at the top, and we have so much news going on this that both Mike Pompeo and Rick Grenell have been confirmed. One, Pompeo as the Secretary of State, and of course, Rick Grenell as the ambassador to Germany, a G7 country. And I had the chance to speak with Rick yesterday, and I will tell you he's going to work on a lot of issues that impact work that we're engaged in, including working with his colleagues in Germany that can work with colleagues in Turkey to secure the release of our imprisoned American pastor, Andrew Brunson. So those are big developments yesterday, and we're thrilled. And I want to thank all of our ACLJ members from around the country that participated in that. It was a very big day and a very good day. Let me say this as we close this broadcast out for the weekend here. We are in the final days of our matching challenge campaign at the ACLJ. What does that mean? That means that any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. And we're a little bit behind our goal right now, but we can make it up over the weekend here with your help. So let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, that's ACLJ.org, and any amount you donate to the ACLJ is going to be matched. That's ACLJ.org. For our Facebook and Periscope audience, I encourage you to stay on the line here. We're going to play that tune that we played during the break, Crossroads. What a crossroads we're at in this North Korea-South Korea situation. Incredible what's developed. Again, pray with your eyes open on this one, that's for sure, so you know what's going on. But again, ACLJ.org for the matching challenge. Logan's going to let you know how you can stay engaged with us throughout the week and also even as we come up to the weekend.
That's right, ACLJ.org. You can get involved there. You can see news, blogs, all information, our podcast, our videos, television show. You can find all of it there, also on the ACLJ app. Make sure you download that in the App Store, subscribe to the podcast, and we'll see you next week.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.